And this episode of Spittin' Chiclets was brought to you by BetDSI.com. And with the NFL playoffs taking center stage, BetDSI is the place to be. With over 20 years in the business and being rated the top-rated business on sportsbook review sites, it's basically a no-brainer at this point. It's got a great mobile product that's easy to use anytime, anywhere. You can also live in-game wager throughout entire games and events. I can't forget to mention the customer service as well. 24/7, 365 days a year. What's better than that? So here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to give you a free $10 just to try BetDSI when you register, and a 200% bonus on your first deposit, all with the code SPIT200. So for both new and returning members, it's automated, so they should see this in the cashier. 200% means if you deposit 500, you get 1,000 total in bonus credits. So the total winds up being $1,500. So this is for both sports and casino. So when you deposit 500, you get a total of 1,000 in your sports account and 500 in your casino account. There's nothing better than that. BetDSI.com. Check it out.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of Spit and Chiclets, brought to you by Barstool Sports.
What's up? Happy New Year.
Ryan Whitney.
How are we?
Mikey Grinnelli. What's up, gentlemen?
You guys do anything good for New Year's Eve?
Happy New Year. No.
You're not a holiday guy.
I am what Black Twitter calls washed.
Washed up.
I am washed as soap. I am done.
But we're more interested in Grinnelli. Like, this is a young guy.
He's got balls deep. I got to lay a pipe all night or something, right?
I had a great night.
All right.
But I'll tell you this. What would have been a $30 Uber? Oh. $170.
That's what it costs?
$170.
Oh, you got the surcharge.
The surcharge.
They really fuck you.
$30 Uber, $170.
Dude, why didn't you... Where were you going? But if you were going to get some, you know, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. It was. I'm not going to say it wasn't worth it.
So, all right, perfect.
So, a happy ending in an Uber cost $170, is that what you're saying?
Well, let's just say I'm suspended from Lyft right now.
Oh, hey now.
That's for another podcast.
Well, I couldn't pay for it.
What about you, Wits?
Oh, okay.
Anything for New Year's?
I went skiing, dude. I went up to Stowe, Vermont, got banged up with a couple buddies, girls.
Skiing? Whereabouts?
I just said Stowe, Vermont.
Believe me,
you would think about your own joke.
Yeah, I was.
Believe me, I got pretty nasty by the end of this weekend. I've skied like 5 times.
It seemed like everyone went skiing.
Because when I was little, you know, you're playing hockey, you can't get skiing.
Yeah.
Skiing's fun as shit.
I went to ski school.
You go, you know, you get like, you know, pack some beers in a backpack for the lift ride, bomb down the mountain. I did, you know, a lot of green circles to start, did a black diamond by the end, and then you just get crushed in the lodge.
Did you hotbox any gondolas?
Plead the fifth.
Ah, I love it. Nice. Yeah. Dude, it seemed like everyone in affiliated at Barstool went skiing over the break, man. It was like everyone tweeting or talking or whatever. And I love skiing. I haven't done it in years. Last time
It is like probably the most ridiculous situation when you're in the lodge, because you sit there, you leave all your belongings in an unlocked fucking cubby, and people don't take shit.
Charlestown kids have had field days over at ski resorts over the years. No, there is. There's definitely like that kind of like trusting vibe up there that
doesn't exist anywhere else.
And everyone walks around like a cowboy because the way they have their boots like
all I was loose. Thinking, you just don't want to get injured though.
Fuck, no, well, dude, that's
you, I rented a helmet. You took the words. Me, look like
last
a
time I went, dude, and I'm actually I'm not like exactly.
I do not see you as
Jesse Owens. No, I'm actually
you're a snowboarder.
You know, believe it or not, no, I'm not a snowboarder. I'm a skier. I mean, skiing is probably on the three sports. I'm actually not bad. I'm actually pretty good. I'm actually a decent skier. Believe it or not, yeah.
I'm gonna want to see this.
But last time I went, man, I got a little too much speed. I was in control, but a fucking snowboarder did a turn in front of me. It was like his first time down the mountain. I mean, I know you're responsible for the guy in front of you, but like the guy turns and boom,
what are you supposed to do?
All over the place. All of a sudden I look up and all my friends are looking down like horrified looks. They're like, you all right, dude? Like it was a, you know, spill all the way down the hill, skis chasing you, all that. And I was like, I got up. I had a bruise like on my leg for like months. I mean, after that, I was like, you know what?
You're grinding.
I'm not in a hurry to do that again.
Honestly,
like I said, I'm in my 40s, dude. You like one bad spill from shredding your knee, and it's like, you know what, dude? Like,
why was I doing that?
The fuck was I doing? You know what I mean? I could go on a lazy mountain and have fun and go down the lazy trails, but you know, when you get up there, you want to get a little speed. You want to get a little juice going.
I saw my buddy in college break his pelvis, break his wrist. break is he shattered his pelvis, broke his wrist.
Imagine what that Uber ride would have cost to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, seriously.
All right, so fuck enough.
Oh, well, yeah, we were missed to say the new year isn't as great because of Milch.
We're going to bleed off with that. Milch, we mentioned him a couple months ago when the Bruins season kicked off.
Cool it was. He dropped the puck, right?
Awesome. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's kind of. I mean, it sucks that he died. I mean, he was 98. I mean, 98.
He was probably begging. He's like, what the fuck?
It's a hell of a run.
Am I doing here still?
But we had that one last moment with him. It was great. I mean, you know, like and he still had his wits about him. I mean, a lot of people 98 years old that don't know where they are.
I know.
He actually sat down. If you go on the Bruins website or on their Twitter, he gave like a 5-minute dual interview with Bobby Orr, and I mean, just the reverence that Bobby Orr had for him, looking at him as he's talking about him, and it was just kind of like nice that Bruins fans were able to have that one last moment with him. And when Bobby pushed him off the ice and Bergeron went over to him and they took that picture, I mean, that's it's sad to see him go. Obviously, a Bruins legend.
Do you think most hockey fans know who he is, like non-Boston Bruins fans?
I would say Canadian fans.
First player in league history to play for the team, captain the team, coach the team, and then be GM.
GM, he was.
Actually, did Bobby Clark, maybe not first in history, first in Bruins history, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Bobby Clark didn't win a cup as a GM, did he?
I'm not saying win a cup. Oh. Is it win a cup on all those?
No, he won a cup as a player.
It was the Bruins GM. It was the only Bruins player to ever play for him, captain them, coach him, and be the GM. I don't know if he won a cup.
I'm sorry. He won a cup as the player and as a GM.
Okay.
That's what it was. But yeah, he was
either
he
way, served a legend.
All, exactly. A huge legend. So our condolences, sympathies to anybody who's friends, family with
you
them.
You think Milt knows anyone listening to the Spit and Chicklets?
Dude, he friends with a lot of people with the Bruins for a long time. Yeah,
Time out. Milt Schmidt is a family friend of my family. He's a good friend of my grandpa's.
Really?
He rents my parents have a house in Florida, and Milt Schmidt rented it every winter.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So I have a bunch of autographed sticks by the Bruins in my basement from like 98, 99. Milt Schmidt got them all signed for us.
What a beauty.
Yeah, absolute beauty. Found all this out like last night.
Did you guys get any of good stories about him just getting banged up at the house or anything?
No.
Or was he just a good guy?
No, I definitely got to ask my grandpa, though.
Yeah, he got some stories.
And, definitely.
Similar to Ted Williams, he lost 3 years during the prime of his career to serve his country, Canada in this case.
Looking back on the fact that the best athletes went and served their country at war.
Yeah. And they didn't all get like the Elvis fucking thing, like, oh yeah, stick him over Germany so he don't get his ass shot off because he's Elvis. Like, I mean, Ted Williams flew like 100 fucking missions or something crazy. So, yeah, different generation. But speaking of generations, we're talking about the older ones now. We're gonna dial back a few hundred years, or several generations. How about
nice segue?
Nice segue, huh?
Oh, the World Junior.
World
tournament.
Juniors, man.
And we discussed this tournament. I remember telling you guys how special it was when I played in it, how much I loved it, and how much I like have enjoyed watching it since then. You know, playing when I was still playing, and now you're like, this is kind of the future of the game, and the tournament has been as good as you could imagine. The only thing that sucks about it is the attendance is pathetic for Canada.
Well,
I think the prices were like, I don't know what they're thinking, charging $300 to go to a fucking junior
game. You're charging a city that has the Montreal Canadiens. People aren't going to pay $100 to sit in nosebleed seats to watch
I think Hockey Canada got cocky thinking like, all right, you know, it's the World Juniors. We sell out anywhere. But I think that the World Juniors belongs. And where I played it in 1 year in Canada, I played was in a junior city.
Right.
You know, it
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon, where the U.S. won. Let's just reminisce about the U.S. beating Team Canada in 2010 in Saskatoon.
A little bit so.
And that could happen again tonight in Montreal. But it doesn't belong in the big arenas. I mean, maybe it sells out tonight. I'll be interested. I hope so.
You would think so with Canada. And of course, you know, teams that aren't Russia, like if you're not Canadian, then you're not in a biggest hurry to see them. But yeah, it's indicative that people didn't go to Montreal either to watch it or they weren't going to spend that kind of money on tickets.
But an all-time classic, U.S.-Russia yesterday, with a shootout that it was just like TJ Oshie against Russia in the Olympics.
And Troy Terry.
It was very similar to Jonathan Toews. I think it was 2008.
Let's hope not too similar, and the U.S. wins the gold.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that kid, Troy Terry, to score 3 times in the shootout, twice when he had to score, they lost, was some of the most clutch.
Dude, that kid's hands were like lightning, dude.
It was
like,
filthy. He came through.
His release.
One of the moves. One of the moves. He went backhand.
Denver.
Oh, he plays at Denver. Yeah,
plays at Denver.
Anaheim pick in the fourth round, okay. Or fifth round. He came through, brought the puck to his backhand to open up the goalie's legs to go 5-hole, but instead of the goalie did a good job of keeping his stick on the ice to keep his 5-hole covered. The kid sauced it. I don't know if you saw that. He sauced it over the goalie's stick through his legs.
No way.
I'm telling you, if you could see the replay again, it wasn't like open the goalie up, get him sliding, and slide a 5-hole. He actually got it up airborne just enough to get over his goalie's stick. And that's with we lose, we're done, or we're going to the bronze medal game, which is basically done. It was I was going bananas on my couch. I was like, this is, I wonder how many people were actually watching and experience. Because if you're a hockey fan, I don't care if it's just NHL, you're into this.
Imagine how he felt, 19-year-old kid with U.S. Russia relations.
Girls sliding in his inbox. Or what is it called? Yeah. Sliding in your
DMs.
Even I know that one, for Christ's sake. Put it this way. When Mike Milbury has something positive to say about it, then it's probably a good thing. I saw a quote from him last night, like that the skill level has never been anything remotely like this before on these kids.
Crazy. I said the same thing the other night.
And I mean, like these kids, like none of them look like future checkers or anything. I mean, of course, they'll all, when they pan out their career, some of them will be, but it's like they're just the talent on all of these teams, man. And I know we were going to talk about like the fucking shootout to decide it. I mean, that's such a soccer thing. Like, let's kick soccer. I don't even care. But, like, I mean, come on, dude. You're like, and you tell me you didn't feel bad. I mean, one of those Russians might have been one of your kids after your KHL run. But tell me you didn't feel bad for those kids. Like, they lost in a fucking shootout. You know what I mean? That sucks.
I know. And like, you want to just keep playing. Like, it should be goal. And they go 4-on-4, too, in overtime, which I thought was kind of interesting. I'm a fan of semifinal Olympics, international play, gold medal, Stanley Cup, 5-on-5 overtime. It is what it is. Play till the next guy scores. 4-on-4, whatever. If you're going to do that, keep it until somebody scores. Like, to lose a medal or the chance to win a gold medal, or if tonight goes to a shootout, like, it's just not right. And I think that you can't say that that's the better team. I mean, I know, because if you tied them, you're better at a breakaway competition.
Candy-ass Olympic rules. No,
but at
they
the same
suck.
Time, I think of Forsberg and his famous move in 94 and Lillehammer, and I'm like, that was so awesome. That's such a cool memory. So there's cool things that can happen, as yesterday we saw with Troy Terry, but it does suck to go down that way. But those Russians, fuck them. They're so, the guy shooting the ball in front of the bench, I was so happy to see their scumbag looks lose.
Make hockey fun again.
I was so, if US had lost yesterday in that type of game to Canada or Sweden, you're upset, but you're like, all right, they played, I mean, what can you do? But if they had lost to Russia, it would have sucked, and Canada would have rolled Russia. I think that US will win tonight.
It's 8 o'clock on NHL Network.
Well, people are going to be listening to this when it's over, probably. But
let's
get some predictions.
Just go back in time after you listen to this. Go get your time machine, and we'll give you a win or two on who to bet in the Bruins game tonight. Another hour.
Give me a prediction. What do you guys think?
I will say I got the U.S. team winning. They've played Canada 3 times in the finals of the World Junior. They've won 2 of them. So they won in 2004 and 2010, and they lost in 97. So I'm going 3-1 in the gold medal. USA wins 4-2 with an empty net.
I'll go US 3-1. I'm from Canada. They think I'm slow, eh?
I like slow. USA. USA 4-3.
Simpsons.
What?
4-3. USA 4-3.
All right. Basically copied me, but you added a goal.
What do you think we're going to actually, one of us is going to sit there and say fucking Canada?
So US finally, by the way, they finally have players that, like, forever in this tournament, Canada has had, like, 4 to 5 guys that could be on the team, and they're starring in the NHL. So you're always like,
crazy.
Oh, it's kind of bullshit because Canada. But we're now finally, we're being USA.
Catching up.
Finally,
catching up.
We're missing Matthew Tkachuk. We're missing Zach Werenski, who's running the best power play in league history
that
in Columbus.
Dude.
Kid's filthy. And to know that we could have those guys, it just shows USA hockey is really, they're perennial in the Final Four in the World Juniors now, and I think the national team development program started in Ann Arbor in 98, and it's like, it's been 20 years, and it's, you know, 19 years, and it's actually,
you were part of that, right?
Yeah, I was part of that. No, yeah, not a big deal.
Home brag.
But I think that you're starting to see, I mean, we've talked about before, USA hockey's in a great spot. If they can get this gold medal in Canada tonight, gets me going. But looking at some of these players,
Hey, shout out to Colin White, Luke Coonan, exactly. And Casey Fitz for jumping on our Facebook page.
How many views did we get?
Yeah. About 50,000 views.
50K, kid?
50K.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
A couple Ubers?
Pretty good for Boston, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, but thank you for those guys. And Colin White. Colin White is ridiculous. That kid.
Why isn't he in the NHL right now?
He will be. He will be when BC season ends. It's the same with Charlie McAvoy when the BU season ends. He'll be on the Bruins, and maybe Clayton Carroll will be playing games for the Coyotes because he's been probably the best player in the tournament, I think.
Yeah, no question.
Clayton and as a
Kelly.
Bruins fan, RA.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know you.
McAvoy?
No.
Oh.
You could have had Matt Barzell. Have you watched this kid on Canada?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. You, yeah. The
2015
draft.
Entry draft. The Bruins take. Yeah, let's could, go through could, it here. We go.
You can do this.
They have
every
three
team.
Picks. No, dude. Three picks in a row. Jacob Zabaril, Jake DeBrusque, and Zach Senyshyn.
Senyshyn. Who's got about 90 goals this year? But go ahead.
Okay. And then Matthew Barzell. Who's doing this in this turn?
Could have taken Kyle Connor too. Barzell, okay. Kyle Connor.
Okay,
it's a bunch of guys.
I'm just saying, those three.
I know.
Watching this kid, and if I was a Bruins fan, I would be disgusted.
Well, that's what they do, but that's what you got to remind them that, okay, you're watching a junior tournament right
now.
You got
McAvoy.
This isn't the NHL in 5 years. Talk to me then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
You know,
I respect that.
I'm not just being a whiny Bruins fan, but I honestly think you could point out a play. That's a lazy man's game to play. You can do that with every team, every draft. Look who.
Well, Colin White was 21st too, and he's from here.
Every single fucking team you can do that with. They passed over this guy. I mean, fucking Pavel Datsyuk and Zetterberg went in what, the 5th and 6th rounds. I mean, come on, you know, it's I don't know. It's just I'm not fucking stick up for the Bruins. I shit on them when I need to. And
but they're from Europe. Not from Hanover, Massachusetts, like White, when the Bruins didn't take him. There's a little difference when you pick a European in the six. When that kid from Russia, Kaprasov, that Minnesota pick, which we should bring up Minnesota for having like four of the best players in the tournament. They got a kid on Russia, Kaprasov. They got a Greenway on.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
He's an animal
out
there.
He's going to be a beast in the NHL.
Yeah, he'll be in the NHL at the end of this year, too. So I don't know. It's just great hockey. I hope people have really enjoyed it because I have.
It has been a good tournament. You mentioned Zach Werenski is a former national NT. I always get the NTDP thing. I get dyslexic when I
say it. I can't say it, and I was there.
I just say Ann Arbor because it's a lot easier.
And they're not even there anymore. But
Werenski was just on the team a year ago or so, and now he is tearing up for Columbus. And what they're tonight, again, obviously, we're recording Thursday. The show goes on Friday.
This is getting ridiculous.
By tomorrow, we'll know if, you know, Columbus, or by the time the show is, if Columbus actually tied the NHL record for most consecutive victories. Now, if you were going to sell stock at that back in September.
You could plus 50,000?
Seriously.
No, plus like 600,000.
Columbus winning 17 in a row would definitely be like a 5,000 on one shot. Definitely, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating.
I know.
5,000 on one shot, I would post as odds for that happening, and it could happen tonight. I mean, I know we've talked about him before, but when the team's doing this, how do you not keep talking about him?
That's amazing.
I know. It's like we're like, oh, you can't keep talking Columbus. One, because they're the Blue Jackets. Two, because Tortorella coaches them. But now it's like you can't not talk about them because they're winning. Edmonton went in there the other night, like huge test for Edmonton. They just blew the doors off them.
Yeah,
it wasn't even
7-1.
I think it was finished 4-1. But
who'd they beat 7-1 this week?
I don't even
early in the week
know.
That was.
But their power play and that Werenski kid, their power play is like 26% right now. It makes no sense how they've turned it around. Besides, like just getting career years out of guys. I mean, Sam Gagner, we mentioned him, what he's done. I'm shocked every time they win.
Bobrovsky playing, you know. I mean,
tonight Bobrovsky's been. If he gets hurt, they're fucked.
Yeah,
think.
And it's, you know, he's kind of had some hiccups during his career. He would play out of his mind, then he kind of seemed to lose it. But he's just been, you know, out of his mind. I
Columbus's
mean,
goal differential is plus 52.
52. I mean, yeah. And the next one down is what, 38.
Yeah, the Rangers are 38.
And Columbus is 58 points. The next team down, Pittsburgh, is 55. Actually, Pittsburgh and the Rangers. But Columbus has two games in hand on Pittsburgh. So they could hypothetically be 7 points in the lead. It's impressive as all hell. But like I said before, the team who set the record, what was that, the 93 Penguins?
93 Penguins.
Right.
You know, they're peaking too early.
How'd they end up?
Exactly.
Exactly.
They're peaking too early. It's like... Ooh. It's such a. What's the team? You ask someone on the team about that. What are they going to say? Like, you're going to be like, shut the fuck up. We're winning games, so we're supposed to do. But
right.
You know for a fact, some part like Tortorella or the GM's head is like, this is
we need to lose one here.
Like this is because they're gonna end up going on a streak where they lose games, and then all of a sudden we're at the halfway point of the year right now. They say in a month and a half they go on an 8-game losing streak right before the playoffs, and it's like, holy shit! What, I remember the good old days back when Spittin' Chicklets shit on us, but we just won every fucking game.
Yeah, it's gonna put a little pressure on them. I think that, you know, people are gonna expect them to, you know, roll through the playoffs now. But honestly, as impressive as the streak is, I don't think this really changes much going to the playoffs, because the playoffs are a different animal, as everyone knows. And
if you won 17 straight going into the playoffs, it would matter
going into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, now, I think. But right now, it's like they're just getting into the playoffs.
They're not even halfway through their schedule yet. They played 36 games, so you know they may well simmer back down to the middle of the pack. They could play, you know, 750 for the rest of the year, which is probably unlikely. But you know, until they do it in the playoffs, it's impressive. But you know,
well, you saw Philly win 10 in a row, and now they've now lost. Lost, I think, 4 of their last 5.
They've definitely skidded off. I mean, and you know, they're in danger of falling out of the playoffs as well, too. So it's good as it is now. Like I said, it's they haven't done anything yet. The playoffs are where it matters, and you know, Columbus does not have. I mean, they have some players on the team with experience, but as a team, they don't have a lot of experience as a playoff team together. And you know, teams like that, they usually need to learn to win. They usually need to lose in the playoffs before they learn how to win. So again, hey, you know, it's a great story. We'd love to see them set the record. It's fun to watch, but you know, I wouldn't go be putting down like my mortgage.
I don't think they're winning.
Right now
they're not going to win the cup.
Streak.
I mean, if they, because I just said that they may, but I seriously would be shocked if they were to win the Stanley Cup. Maybe in a couple years. Did you see Weber go back to Nashville? Video?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was a little. Maybe I'm kind of being a hater, but like, he didn't win the cup there, and like it was like this huge.
I think it's different for Nashville though, not like it's the Bruins or the Canadians. He was their first guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Was he their first?
And for a great crowd, for a great like fan base, you could tell he meant like the world to them. I think I was more just shocked, like before thinking what you said, like this is a relatively new organization. Like I was just shocked at like. I mean, they were chanting "Thank you, Weber." Like Subban wasn't even playing; he was probably like, "Fuck me."
Yeah, that was like Grinnelli said. It was just he was such a huge part of that team. Like you know, I mean, it took them.
And he scores.
He helped put hockey on the map in Nashville.
It took them a couple years to kind of get a reputation as a hard to play against team. They haven't had really any great playoff success yet, but you know, they had a couple of nice runs, and Shea Weber was at the heart of those. And you know, and plus, from what I understand, he was pretty like almost 90%. 5% of hockey players, well known in the charity and the community, and did a lot of good things there.
I've never heard a remotely bad word about that guy.
Like, yeah, like you're gonna fucking say it if you did.
I wouldn't say who said it.
Yeah,
but I can say it.
Yeah, I said.
But I've never ever, like, everyone says, like, just a genuinely nice guy, cared about all of his teammates, cared about the community, pretty much. An ideal captain for a new team when he got there and became like a leader there. So that
nice guy
cool.
Tries hard, loves the
game. I wonder what Subban nice guy tries hard, loves the game. Phil Kessel. But I wonder if Subban will get. I mean, I'm assuming Subban's ovation in Montreal will be similar.
Oh yeah, exactly. And he, you know, they did he did Subban accomplish more in Montreal than Weber Nashville.
No,
yeah.
But it's Montreal.
Well, exactly.
Charitably, I don't know what Shea Weber necessarily did in Nashville, but I know he did his fair share. But what PK Subban did in Montreal, and I we never really
still
touched on
it.
And did you guys see the video of what he did in Nashville where he took all the kids on the sleigh ride?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Dude, did you see the one last year? He did it in Montreal.
In Montreal,
he set up like this like fantasy world.
It's amazing.
I mean,
he did it again in Montreal this year too, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He still set them, did something for them.
We'll have
again.
To tweet out that video. I think I retweeted it. We'll have to get Spittin' Chicklets to retweet that for everyone to see. That was some good shit right there.
So, yeah.
Both great guys.
Good stuff. And one other story. Last episode, we talked about how random backup goalies kind of get you not pressed into the lineup, but they're always, you know, these guys who are emergency goalies. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little fucking slow today. Bad night's sleep. Emergency goalies. And we were talking about it. Well, then I think it was the next night after our show in Carolina game. It was Eddie Lack, their backup, got sick, and their Carolina's affiliate was too far away to bring in a minor league goalie, so they dressed their equipment guy.
Assistant equipment guy, I believe it was.
Assistant equipment guy. I'm going to pull up his name here because I want to give him his props.
Who makes it even funner.
Jorge Alves.
More fun?
Alves.
Alvarez?
It's A-L-V-E-S. I know some people pronounce it Alves, some people say Alves, but Jorge Alves. He was a backup goalie. Now, he came in for the last 7.6 seconds. Now, it was a situation.
That's awesome.
Carolina was down 2 goals, I believe. The faceoff was down the other end. They're not going to the playoffs. It was a situation where it wasn't going to affect the outcome of the season at all. Carolina's probably not going to the playoffs. It was highly unlikely they would score on them. It was just a situation of, hey, you know what? We're going to let this kid live out a dream for 7 seconds. And what for the hell of it, it's not going to hurt anybody. And like I mentioned, Mike McKenna, who's a longtime AHL goalie, he tweeted out that it was one of the best things he's ever seen, just because that's what like playing sports is about in hockey. It's like that guy, you know, that guy's gonna have the memories for the rest of his life now, as opposed to what if they had left, you know, Cam Warden for that last 7 seconds, no one would know the difference.
I really wish that somebody, like somehow someone got a breakaway though and just ripped one shelf on him. That would be a better clip than seeing him go in, which is great. The guy played an NHL game. If somebody somehow had gotten a chance and ripped one by him, it would have been so funny, and he would have been laughing too.
Oh boy,
that's all I want to see.
It'd be even better if he made the save, because then the guy who shot on him would never. I know, that'd be like, that was like, that was so good.
Actually, you're right. If you missed on
you would never hear the end of it. But I like, speaking of like take the wind up and take the shot, I fucking love what Kevin Hayes did to El Prez in the goalie challenge. Every time they do it, I'm like, someone's just gonna step up and uncork
8 for 10 for Hayes.
I'm like, because nobody ever does that. They always go easy on him, and Hayes, he stepped up and rifled like 8 of them by.
Wait, have you ever done that with
No, I haven't. I haven't.
So when are we going down to New York?
Yeah, we got
to
go down.
I don't know.
He told me. He told us. He told
I don't know.
Us to
I know
down.
It's not. I know it's not. I don't know. Listen, I know it's not polite to invite yourself somewhere. I know we generally should get invited when you want to go somewhere. People would invite you down and say, hey, why don't you
invite
the show?
He invited me.
Why don't you come down? We'll put you up at a hotel or something for a couple of days. You know, get a couple of days of work. Maybe we could start getting some FaceTime in the studio instead of like all these fucking interns doing. Hey, What do I know? I'm just a little.
I say we show up. Just show up one day.
Nah, that's a
bad
plan.
I'm kind of intimidated.
If I learn one thing, don't ever just show up with anything to do at Barstool. Make sure you got everything in stone before you fucking just show up. Not a good plan. But anyways, that was a good moment to see the young kid. Okay, what do we got?
Alright Hamilton.
Alright Hamilton. Yeah, like
you
I said,
some
I'm on about 4 hours sleep, man. So
we got some good ones.
Yeah, I'm a little fucking slow today. Don't mind me. I'm good though.
All right, so first, Ryan, I wanted to ask you this because, well, it's more aimed at you because I don't really know what it is, and it seems like it was pretty important. I can't say the Shire Liar says, Stool Chicklets, hey, Wick, can you talk about your transition from playing and how important organizations like Chapter 5 are?
What's Chapter 5?
I don't know. I thought it was one of those like organizations that help out. Post. I have no idea.
Is that? I think that's Dan Carcillo's organization.
Is that his?
I'm pretty sure that's Dan Carcillo's that helped players.
If that's the case, I actually talked to.
I'm
to
pretty
Carcillo.
Sure. I'm 90% sure that it's Dan Carcillo's.
We've gotten a few questions about it before, so I figured.
I think that's great. What's happening with that? Because I get it's funny. Like before I had ever played professionally, when you hear stories about old pro athletes who are really struggling when their career ends, whether it be with like drinking or having no money, just like stuff that in the end is kind of their fault. But I would always be like, whatever, the guy played pro sports. What the fuck?
It is Carcillo's thing. It is Carcillo's
thing. But now since I played, you can see like it's a tough transition. I mean, there's times when you just really miss like not necessarily the game. I'm sure some people miss the game a lot, but you miss like just being around the guys,
camaraderie,
your friends. So people struggle, and then and especially with concussions and all that. So I see it, and it kind of like hits more to home for me just to see people going through that. But that's why Carcillo's thing is so good, to be able to help people who otherwise really wouldn't know where to go or what to do.
Have you had any struggles since you stopped playing? Did you have a lot of adjustments or?
Yeah, I can't hit a 5-iron at a I can't hit a green.
You're the best.
Can't hit a green in regulation.
That's your version of it. But no,
Cars, I think, is doing a great job in helping guys who maybe dropped out of high school and they're playing junior, right? They don't.
Right.
What are they going to do? They don't know really where to go, and that's an awesome thing that we. I'm glad we brought that up. We'll have to tweet out that
and
too.
He was spurred on a lot of that from his friend Steve Montador, who died about a year and a half ago.
Yep.
He was real close.
Went through a lot of stuff.
Like you just said,
Monty was a great
guy. Monty was one of those guys who played a hard-nosed game. He fought a lot in growing up through the ranks. Had concussion issues, and those seem to often dovetail into the substance abuse issues, and that's just such a bad combination to have the depression that comes with the traumatic brain injury, and then you compound it with drug abuse and alcohol abuse, and these guys
vicious
just virus. Becomes and then you add on the top of it, like you were just saying, just the whole losing the monotony you've been used to, and like the whole system, the whole buses,
you don't know what
planes.
To do.
You've done this thing, your whole identity is a hockey player, and that gets taken away, and it's like, what the fuck do I do now? And especially, like you said, if you were a high school dropout, that's all you ever did. And actually, there was an article, and we can tweet it out off the Chicklets account. I hope you write these down. We say because we do have 15.
We're not going to tweet out one of them.
Yeah, man, I'm not.
We're just
going to
put clips of the U.S. game
but
tonight.
There's an article in the Chicago paper, and it's about former Blackhawks, and the Carcillo was one of the main interviews, but also Nick Boynton, who played in Boston for a period.
He's doing well.
He's doing a lot better, but he's a guy who struggled a lot because, he got out and he was kind of lost and what do I do? And, he's a guy who had,
doing
had,
radio now
had
for
some
the
concussion
Coyotes.
Issues too.
Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, but he had a hard time adjusting to it, and I think he's still probably adjusting to it. But it's good that, Carcillo, and I know, if you're fans of certain teams, you can quibble with some of his things he did for his career, but you can't say anything about the guy now. To take something as close as a close friend dying, and that's such a hard thing to deal with, but then to take that and to turn it into something positive, like, it's so fucking easy to say you want to do that, but to go and put the energy behind it and
bad.
The manpower, it's really a hell of a testament for Carcillo doing that for his friend. But more importantly is that it gets, hockey's is fucking about as macho culture as it comes after probably football, I would say. And for any time that you can introduce to tell guys, like, it's okay to fucking talk to somebody, or because no guys aren't going to just do it. Guys, we're not wired necessarily to share our feelings, especially in a macho culture. But if it can help a guy who maybe pulls a guy aside and goes to a room, or encourages a guy to go in his room and cry his eyes out for 10 minutes and he feels better, and something even like something as simple as that,
pussy.
I was waiting for that. That was on cue. But no, Sarah, there are all these things that kind of tie into mental health, and it's a good thing that Dan's doing, so we applaud him for doing that. So.
I do feel bad. I didn't know that. I kind of forgot it was called Chapter 5.
I kind of blindsided you with that.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Thanks a lot, dude.
But Montador, great guy.
Awesome.
Suggested one time. I met him one time, and he had beautiful sleeve on his. He's got a beautifully done sleeve tattooed.
Yeah,
up.
I know.
And I asked him about it, and he said, "My mother told me she'd kick me out of the house if I got the tattoo. My mother still loves me." That's exactly what I thought when I got my tattoo.
There you go. Well,
tattoo. I mean,
so Monty helped you. There. That's great.
If you're under 18,
it all comes together.
If you're under 18, or even if you're of age. Don't ask your fucking parents for a tattoo yet. You ask for forgiveness, not permission. With tattoos.
And wives. I always ask for forgiveness from your wife, not permission.
Oh, I thought you meant permission.
That's
another whole thing. All right. Number two, Mikey.
All right. So going back to the USA World Junior team, Michael Feeney asks, who is you guys' MVP of the World Junior team for USA, and who is your overall tourney MVP?
All right, Hamilton.
For USA right now, I want to say Clayton Keller because Clayton Keller he is their MVP. He's been the best player for Team USA, but I love McAvoy. I love that kid. I went to BU, so I'm biased against him, but he's been such a beast on the blue line. He skates unbelievably well. He hammers guys. He's been great running the power play up top. So I like Charlie McAvoy is my team MVP for USA, and of the tournament, I don't know. It depends on who wins tonight. I really don't think that you're going to give it out to a... Do they even give the MVP out of that tournament?
Yeah. They do,
oh, do
they?
Do
an MVP after every game.
Oh, they do player of the game.
Player
yeah,
the
but
game.
I don't know if they did like MVP. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna come down to tonight.
I'll go with Parsons, even if... I don't know. I'm always sucker for a goalie. And, I mean, a game like last night, I mean, goalie's got to be one of your best players to get it to a shootout.
With your Tim Thomas undies on.
I might go fire up that DVD now. So, yeah, I'll go with the goalie, Parsons.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough for me to choose between Clayton Keller and Colin White because I think both of those two kids have been studs. Scoring huge goals at huge times.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they've both been just dynamic offensively. It's great to
dominant, to be honest. But
we'll go with White.
We'll go with Whitey. So next question. Now that we're on to Brandon Lemire says, now that we're on to 2017, Stool Chicklets, now that we're on to 2017, are there any big names you see getting traded before the February deadline?
All right.
I can't believe this talk's already starting. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was looking at names the other night.
Again, they'll get dealt.
That's funny. We had a meeting.
I mean, do you want me to throw some names out there that have been talked about?
Yes,
trade?
Yes. Chuck them at us.
Landeskog is a name that's been thrown out there. Aginla, I heard you talking about Aginla on your radio show. Hey, you do a great job on your Boston radio show, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not supposed to talk about it.
I'm on the other side of the couch. I'm on the other side of the couch right now. Cranking each other off.
So, Landeskog, Duchesne is a guy.
Duchesne would need to. You need a, that guy is an awesome scorer. He's not the issue in Colorado. For them to trade him, they're not going to give him away unless they get a really good defenseman.
Jacob Trouba is a guy that you know is mentioned in a maybe you see a swap there.
I think Trouba. I don't think Winnipeg would sign him and only to deal him. I don't think that's
well. They signed him for a bridge deal. It was.
They stink. I don't know. I'm surprised that
Colorado?
They're not better. No,
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Oh, Winnipeg. Oh, well,
Colorado really
fucking
stinks.
Awful, dude. Like seriously, like what the fuck happened to them so bad? I know Patty Y had him overplaying, and all the Corsi nerds predicted they were going to fall.
True. That's why the people who go against stats and those shooting percentage combined with save percentage, all that different stuff, it matters because people called the year Colorado when they were great, they'd be bad again, and they called it with Calgary the year they were good a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that roster. I mean, if you're gonna you mentioned names like Landeskog, Duchesne, those guys they're under contract for the next couple of years. I mean, I don't see why. Unless Colorado wants to send a statement, the proverbial statement to the rest of the lineup. But, I mean, do you really want to send statements to like guys like, Rene Bork and Cody McLeod? I mean,
I wouldn't
move those guys. They're
Landeskog. Landeskog's the captain there. He's young. He's signed through 2020-21. He hasn't produced the way that they thought he would. I could see if they could get Tom back, they would trade him. He doesn't make like crazy money. He makes $5.5 million. And
yeah,
I love how we say that's not crazy money.
Yeah, I know. Huh? But they're going to have to
NHL
do something.
Terms.
I mean, they're going to have to do something there. That team is just a mess. And I think the front office. It's probably time to take a look at the front office. I mean, Joe Sakic, great wrist shot. Some of his hairstyles over the years have been a little less than that.
Great snapper.
Great snapper. Really great snapshot, great wrist shot. But his GM skills have been under the gun a little bit. Him and Patty Wah, his buddy, had a little piss and match, and Pat Wah left town. But, yeah, it's just not a good team right now. And if you're Colorado, the future doesn't look great. And if you're a gambler, bet the shit against them.
Yes, that's very true.
I don't know.
You got any other? I don't really know other names.
One more. Ask all right.
We'll go into that near the deadline then.
Yeah, I think especially with the expansion draft.
Yeah, it's too early. You can just name every fucking unrestricted guy now.
Exactly,
which is what we do.
So last question here, because I know we're going to get into this a little later, Ryan. I want Michael Lewis wants to know, how was your experience playing in the Winter Classic, and what are players' opinions playing in outdoor games?
They love them. They're fun. It's something that to break away from the 82 game grind. That's a little different. I was probably part of one of the cooler games with the snow
down
in Buffalo.
No
it was
question.
Like the perfect scenario of the outdoor classic, and then Crosby of all people scores the winning shootout goal. I loved it. I have some
great jerseys
pictures,
that team.
Baby blues. But we didn't win a game. We didn't win a game at home in those jerseys that year.
Really,
that was like the only game we won when we wore them. So they got rid of them pretty quickly. But it was so awesome to walk down and like just see the stadium full. And as a fan, I can't stand them now because they're so overly like there's so
overdone.
Many of them.
Yeah,
but as players love them all because it's still like just a different experience for you.
I wrote about that too recently. Like people are like, oh, these are fucking worn out. I'm like, yeah, but if you're going. If you got a ticket to the game.
If you're going to the game, you love it, and you're playing it, it's awesome. Yeah, it's just the viewership maybe isn't as great as it was at the beginning.
But I don't know. To me, it's like, what the fuck else is on New Year's Day to watch
I was
on TV
freezing,
except a
dude.
Shitty bowl game?
Freezing. I had hand warmers in my gloves. I was like the only guy being a baby with that shit. Shocker. But
I had to play in the pouring rain at Fenway. Think about that.
We'll get into the stat line
in that game.
All right,
soon.
So is that it for
That's it for all right, Hamilton.
Hamilton. All right, moving on. Last week
he's like giggling over here.
Last week I did a really off the cuff last week. So they weren't my best last week.
You were fucked up last week too. I remember you were just like, ugh.
Yeah, I was. I just these fucking early morning wake up calls don't do me good, man.
Well, dude, you tweet movies that you're watching at like four in the morning.
I was in bed early last night too. I just fucking.
What's
tired.
Early for you? Two. Seriously, yeah. You watch movies usually from what, 2 to 4?
Yeah, usually TV to both.
We need to have that on Facebook Live. Maybe we can get a recording of RA watching a movie.
No question. We have to do that.
Live boxing in his man cave.
You can get play by play.
Live Sweden. Okay, I bet your Rocky gets knocked out here. All right, here we go. Ask a millennial with these fucking young hoppers over here who don't know dick all about pop culture for the last 40 years, and I'm here to bust their balls about it. The point of the thing is not for them to answer the questions, it's to educate them. Mikey, that's just for the fucking viewers out there who tell us these guys suck. I'm like, that's the point. It's to make fools out of them. Grinnelli, this is easy. Blade Runner.
Oh, it's a movie.
Okay.
Who's in it?
Anything more?
I've seen it. I know I've seen it before.
Okay. But you don't know who's in it.
But I don't know who's in it. Black guy actor. Wesley Snipes.
Black guy actor.
Blade. I don't know if you guys are being racist right now. Blade Runner. That's Blade. That's just
that's what it is.
Oh, because he's black. He runs or something. Is that what you're saying? No, Blade. That's Blade. That's the vampire.
Blade
Wesley
Sprinter.
Snipes. Blade Runner black is guy. The 1982 sci-fi classic directed by Ridley Scott, starring Harrison Ford.
Fuck,
haven't
me,
seen
man.
It.
You haven't. I don't act like fucking Blade Runner. Some like you know undiscovered. Genius.
No, I've heard of it. It's a monster.
I don't think I've heard of it.
I think I've heard of Blade.
Well, of course you did because you said Wesley fucking Snipes.
No, I said black guy. I didn't know.
I said Snipes.
All right, whatever. All right, so all right, next one. This is can give two answers, but two acceptable answers. Mikey, wise guy. Wise guy.
Oh, that's from the Three Stooges, well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, my curly imitation wasn't what the wise guy was referring to, though.
Wait,
I was just saying, wise guy.
You know, a wise guy is a guy in the mob, right?
Yeah.
This isn't a generic term. This is a specific pop culture.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So,
I didn't know.
You didn't know why?
Fucking beautiful,
you know mobsters were called wise guys?
Monsters?
Mobsters.
Oh, mobsters. No, I didn't know they were called wise guys.
Jesus fucking. All right, so you don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I did.
So wise guy.
I think I did.
So wise guy, you're saying you don't know.
No, one of
the two possibilities. Over to you, Ryan.
I know that a wise guy is a mobster.
Okay, that's not incorrect, but.
He's a wise guy.
Wise guy, two acceptable answers. The one I was going for, wise guy is the Nicholas Pileggi book that Goodfellas was based off of.
Okay.
It was a book in the Her came out in the 80s. Awesome
so
book.
To me, I got that 100% right.
Yeah, in your mind, sure. But when you see Goodfellas based on the movie Wise Guy by Nicholas Pileggi, awesome book. I mean, if you've never read it, it's way
is that
more.
A true story?
Oh, get out of my house right now. This Goodfellas a true story.
That was sarcasm.
All right, yeah, better
you
be.
You fuck.
Awesome book. No, seriously, it's Goodfellas, the whole story, soup to nuts, all the extra
Henry
details.
Henry Hill, right?
Henry Hill, like Jimmy the Gent, all those guys, Paulie. All those guys were real guys, just all the stories. It's crazy. Another good gangster book, if you're into New York gangsters, read The Westies. They made that movie State of Grace off of it. Not a great movie, a decent movie, but if you're into gangster books, The Westies, give that a whirl. All right, next
Spark
up.
Spark notes it.
Next up. Oh, and the other second wise guy would have accepted, I'm sorry, the 1980s CBS show starring Ken Wall was
Never
also about wise guys.
My
okay.
mom just called me a wise guy if I used to.
Well, wise guy if you're being a fucking smart ass to your
fresh
parents.
Prick.
You're fucking fresh prick, you're a wise guy. But no, then
that's
it's like,
such
yeah.
a city thing.
Then there's the wise
you're
guys in Vegas.
Prick. I'm from Boston.
Then there's the wise guys in Vegas who dictate the lines, you know? All right, next up.
In Situate, you were being misbehaved.
Karma Chameleon. Pussies. Karma Chameleon.
Oh, I've heard of this one before. Isn't it a song?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, it's a song.
He says,
Karma Chameleon.
You did go to BU, didn't you?
That's what I thought.
Who sings that piece of shit song?
It's a fantastic song, Culture Club by Boy George. Remember Boy George's group, Culture Club?
That guy just passed away, right?
That was George Michael. That was the other gay English guy named George who sang about it.
All right, Barstool Confession, you're going to punch me in the face. I thought George Michael was Brett Michaels at first, when he first died.
Wrestler?
No, Bret Michaels, the guy that he was a singer, wasn't he?
Oh, Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Yeah. Oh, the Bret Michaels with the fake hair and the headband.
I thought the WWE.
No, well, there's there. Oh,
Bret Michaels is a wrestler too. Yeah. I'm not a wrestler guy.
George Michael.
We're all over the place.
George Michael was.
George Michael died. Boy George is still with us,
and he sings "Come on, come on, come on, come on."
Boy George, big Culture Club guy, huge monster hit. Last one.
Do you listen to that like when you're doing like grilling out in the summer?
80s,
like,
dude. When I got my headphones on, dude. 80s, serious 80s, dude. That's fucking takes you back, dude. Sometimes nostalgia is a comforting blanket, and sometimes we need it.
Shout out to Sirius Radio.
shout out to Sirius Radio. Hey, Barstool. Shout out. Oh,
12 shit, to 2 on Rush 93.
Oh, look at that. We missed them. One more left. This one, I got an 0 for 2, but I got to ask it. All right, Mikey, Karen Allen.
I'm going to say one of the chicks from Dorchester that you piped in Cancun.
I was going to say it's some girl working at Rite Aid on Broadway. Karen Allen. Karen Allen. Who is
Karen
she?
Karen Allen. No, I'm fucking laughing at Grinnelli's dance.
I was going on a route like that, but that was even better.
Hilarious. That would have been great if I did throw like a hot Dorchester bread I laid pipe through 20 years ago on that. I'd be pissed off. But no, Karen Allen starred in probably the greatest comedy of all time and probably the greatest action-adventure movie of all time. She was Katie in Animal House, Boone's girlfriend, the one chick basically in Animal House.
No such thing as a cool girl, but yeah.
Wow, dude, you're just all about the fucking hate today. and she was also Indiana Jones' buddy's daughter, his / underage lover, Marion Ravenwood.
So two all-time hits.
Two all-time hits.
And then that was it for her?
And she's a, no. She did a lot more after that. Obviously Animal House is Titanic comedy.
Let me see this girl.
And fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark, arguably the best action movie of all time. She's in both of those. Great actress. She was in a lot of other stuff in the 80s. She still works. I just saw her in something not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember this girl.
She was in Starman, that movie with Jeff Bridges, comes to Earth and like kind of forms of her former husband who just died and kind of another wacky sci-fi film. But, yeah, look at it. I mean, she was in Scrooge. Yep. She was just in something not too long ago. I just saw her in, too. She's been around a while. Great actor. But, all right, we kind of got that one. No, you guys went 0 for 2. No, but I did like Grinnelli's guess.
We did not kind of get that
Karen
one.
Karen Allen. That does definitely sound like a broad from the hood I might have fooled around with.
Sounds like it.
A little stinky. All right. Anyone else you want to piss off today, Ryan, before?
No, I'm actually interested to hear about Mikey, how his game went.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Frozen Fenway.
Dude, I felt bad. I woke up that morning. It was pouring. I'm like, oh,
everyone was asking
sucks.
About you.
What?
Everyone was asking about you over there, asking why you weren't playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone wanted you to play.
Fuck, man. But I always leave them wanting more.
Exactly.
You show up and suck.
Man of mystery.
They want you to play.
Man of mystery. It was great. It was the worst ice conditions I've ever played in my entire life.
So you haven't told us your stats yet.
Goal and 2 assists.
Okay. What was the score of the game?
5-3.
Oh, all right, dude. And you won?
Yeah. No, we lost.
Oh, you factored into every one of your team's goals?
Of course I did.
Dude, I loved them.
Who played net for the other team?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was one of the best guys on the ice.
They had a mask. They had a mask on. I couldn't tell.
I fucking love that you're being honest, saying you're one of the best. Your
no
gear
question.
Wear.
I came into this. I was probably the best guy on the ice.
Your gear wear was awesome. I was very surprised. I didn't know if you'd be like a fucking guy with the like a shoelace around his shin pad,
Feidelberg.
Like some piece of shit like that. You looked good. Skates looked tight and fresh, man. I was shocked at how good you looked in your gear.
Every single person I've talked to about this game, every one of my friends, my brothers, you even asked me, first question I get asked, so is Feidelberg good at hockey?
Yeah, how
every
was
time.
He?
He was good. He was probably one of the best guys on the ice.
Wow.
Yeah, he could definitely play.
Were there people who couldn't skate?
No, yeah, there was a bunch of people that couldn't skate at all.
Did you? Hopefully you like went around them and like toe dragged them.
Oh yeah,
and, like,
I'm lifting
them
sticks and there was yard sales and oh yeah, but you couldn't carry the puck because there was like 2 inches.
Was it raining during the game?
Yeah, it was pouring. Pouring during the game. There was like 2 inches. You couldn't carry the puck because
yeah,
it was like
sucks.
2 inches of water.
That sucks.
I've never played on the ice conditions, but just skating around and looking up at Fenway Park, yeah. It was the coolest thing.
What was your goal like?
I have a video of it. It was on Nesson. It was on Nesson.
So this will be the first thing to go on Stool Chick. Let's forget all the other stuff we mentioned. I actually saw you retweet the picture. Yeah, you went shelf coming down the slot, right?
Yeah, coming down.
Warrior stick.
Yeah. I was going to say shout out to Warrior Hockey hooking me up head to toe, glove, stick, the whole nine yards. I got a nice pass on a 2 or 3-on-1, and the goalie was sliding left. I toe-dragged it and bought it in.
Wow.
Put it upstairs.
Fuck, ain't no thing.
Mama keeps the cookies.
So, like, what did you get buckled after? Like, were there drinks in the locker room after, before?
There were drinks in the locker room after.
Nice. Not before, though, guys? I
saw Feidelberg had a few beers before.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
God, just,
yeah, I mean, a bunch of guys were drinking before, but
great experience.
You know, guys that I wouldn't expect to be able to, that were good at, like Wiggy is a good hockey player.
Is he? Oh yeah, Wiggy, for people who don't know, this is a former Patriots
dude.
Jermaine Wiggins, yeah, Patriots tight end.
I see. Here's a funny Wiggy story. Actually, it happened right around the block from me.
He's from East Boston.
He's from East Boston, right? Okay, this was in South Boston. This was in South Boston, which is not East Boston. This is probably 91, 92, and there's a league in Boston. It's, I don't even know if it exists anymore, but back in the day, it was called the BNBL, Boston Neighborhood Basketball League. Now, Boston, not probably known for its basketball too much, but it was actually a very competitive city league. Every neighborhood had their own league. Basically, there were 16 neighborhood leagues.
Team? Huh? Their own team or league?
No, there would be a league in each neighborhood. Like Charlestown had its own neighborhood. Charlestown had its own league. Southie had its own league. But then each neighborhood would have their own playoffs, and one team from each neighborhood would meet for a tournament.
A city championship.
BNBL championship.
Like
they had was 15 and under, 19 and under. And like what happened, and the way they bracketed it, we used to joke, we'd call it the white bracket, because Charlestown, the North End, Southie, and Eastie were always in the same bracket, and it was like, oh, only one white team's going to move on. It was like the running joke. Well,
they'd get run over.
One year, it was Southie and Eastie were playing. It was like for the city title, and Wiggy was like 16, I think, playing on like the 19-under team, and he was a monster. I mean, he was like a hothead. He come over, played here, and, you know, it was a pretty volatile crowd. I mean, coming into South Boston, let me see, early 90s, no matter what, if you were on East, Charlestown, Dorchester, it can be an intimidating place. And
so it's different than when I get my Starbucks latte now?
A little bit. A little bit different. So Wiggy's there, and, you know, Southie's starting to take the lead, and he's starting to get really animated and aggravated, and it's just getting the crowd more into it, and the crowd's like giving him more shit, and he's getting aggravated, and he gets slapped with a tee, and the crowd goes nuts, and it's anarchy in there. The crowd's going nuts, and then fucking Wiggy looks up at the crowd, and he's like, calls the whole fucking bleachers down on him. And this, you know, being South Boston, they obliged them. They fucking chased Wiggy, and everyone just started running down.
How many people?
Like dozens. It had to be dozens. It wasn't just Wiggy. The whole team. It was basically they were losing. They started getting a little pouty. The crowd, you know, when the crowd gets into it, they started antagonizing them. And it was one of those, like, give and take. And Wiggy, I mean, he called the crowd down. And like I said, you're in South Boston. They obliged. Chased the whole, like, team out of there. No one got beat up. But because the next day of the Herald, it was like, you know, Eastie team chased out of, like, Salty thing. And I was like, what? They egged the thing on. They started being whiny and spoiled sports. And then, you know, when one of your players eggs on a whole neighborhood and encourages them to come down the bleachers as well. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I punched
so
him.
It was
should've
hilarious.
There.
But it was funny, man. Wiggy, because I remember he had like a reputation when he came over. He was one of the best like young basketball players in the city. You know,
guy's an athlete. I mean, he could play.
Yeah, he was. He was a hell of a ball player.
Good for him.
I mean, enough that, you know,
he had a nice shot.
They know who Wiggy was around the city back in the day for sure. But anyways, that was a hell of a team, man. It was funny. Like, we were out drinking all night. Then the Herald got dropped off like 3 a.m. I remember we were buying the paper after, like, reading the story. Like, this is bullshit. Of course, you know, the Herald made Seldy look awful naturally. But anyways, so that's our Wiggy story for the day. Wiggy
hopefully
story.
He listens. Hopefully tell him to listen, dude.
I will tell him to listen.
Well, dude, that's great. I mean, at least you got some points. If you hadn't got any points, dude, you were done.
Yeah.
You were done. And your gear wear, I can't get over it. I feel like you'd still be playing, dude, looking like that.
Oh, yeah.
Gear.
Well, like I texted you earlier, look good, feel good, play good.
Exactly.
It's what it's all about. It's all about the style.
I don't look great though. Stop looking at me like that.
No, no, I feel like I was gonna hijack it again. When I played at Demiral, sorry, dude, I'm just fucking stoned. I keep thinking, when I played it, you gotta go. At Demiral's, I was college, dude. I didn't have my own equipment up there. I played my first game as a joke. It was like each.
Were you a goalie?
No, because I couldn't wear skates. I couldn't do the skate thing for goalie. Street hockey, yeah. So, anyways, every game was like one of our roommates would suit up and play as like a joke, you know. So it was my turn was up. So I bought all the equipment. Then I'm like, this is fun. I want to do it next week. They're like, yeah, all right, we could use a guy. So I used to get the equipment off my buddy who was the captain of the team. So I'd come out like out of the locker room, head to toe, North Adams, all the like fresh gear on. And then I'd get out there and fucking splat like Bambi on the ice. So I got to disagree. You look good, play good, Mikey. Sorry. All right,
you need
I'm
to be able
fucking
to skate.
Story hours over. Somebody take the microphone on my forehead right now. Pull me out of my misery.
We will be back next week with a special guest, Paul Bissonnette. I think everyone will be excited. And by the way, we did say last week that we'd have the U.S. junior guys, but they played today.
They're playing for
goddamn gold for our country.
America.
Americans who are listening. So we're not going to have that maybe in the future when they take it home tonight. But Biz next week, he's fired up. He might join us for the whole episode. Get him involved. He's going to be all over you with some of your Ask Millennial questions. He might know them all, too. He's a smart motherfucker.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to having him next week.
Absolutely. Big guest next week.
And shout out to all the listeners that did tune into that that live chat on Facebook Live.
Should I start going on that, answering questions?
Well, yeah. We'll talk more after this. I got a few ideas for you.
The
I got
producer's
a few cool
rolling
ideas
right now. I'm actually going down to Florida. Can we both be on Skype?
When are you going to Florida?
Yeah.
Next week. So we're fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, cool.
We'll make it work.
As long as I get a new fucking
listeners,
router by then.
Thank you very much, as always. We appreciate it. We love doing this.
Yeah, definitely.
We love you more.
Subscribe, review, smash all those buttons, do all that stuff. Let us know how you feel. Keep listening. Let us know, blah, blah, blah.
Let us know, he said.
All right.
Peace out.
Peace out. Take care, everybody.